I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, does anyone feel like the anxiety level just kind of keeps rising when you go on social media or you follow the news? Has anybody else felt like that? Like all week, I just feel like the crank keeps getting turned. Okay, so I felt this way too. There's just a lot of, nobody likes conflict, unless you're watching it on reality TV. And so I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you to take a deep breath. Close your eyes, sit up, take a deep breath. And blow it out. Take another one. The next time you breathe in, I want you to pray to yourself, God, I am here. And when you breathe out, pray, God, you are here. How do you feel now? These people are great. Can we just keep doing that? Okay, so raise your hand if you feel like a little more calm, a little more centered. Maybe, yeah, a lot of people. Okay, let me ask you this. Has anything about your circumstance changed? No. Are people any less mean on Facebook right now? No. Are things any less crazy in the world? No. It's because peace doesn't go with circumstance. Your peace, your sense of groundedness, your sense of being okay, it has nothing to do with the arrangement of your life. It has everything to do with the presence of God. And that peace that is the presence of God is available all the time, no matter what. That peace is what this sermon is about. So I want to talk about the Beatitudes, and I want to talk about particularly one about being a peacemaker, and then I want to apply it to our very contemporary world. So grab your bulletin, page 3. So the gospel reading today is the Beatitudes. This is Jesus's opening salvo on the Sermon on the Mount, and it's important to remember, first off, it's a list of blessings. But blessing to Jesus is about divine solidarity and divine presence. So a blessing is when God says, I'm on your side. I'm with you. We're in this together. Like, I got your back. We're doing this. I am on your side. That this is blessing, okay? And now this is important because the Beatitudes then are announcements, first and foremost. They are proclamations about those for whom there is blessing. And the way we usually appropriate the Beatitudes is we talk about them like they are conditions to be attained, right? So, all right, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, right. There's a blessing, and it's for the poor in spirit, so I need to become poor in spirit so I can get the blessing. But that's not what they are. That's not how they work. They are an announcement. They are a proclamation, okay? Poor in spirit is not something you want to be. Poor in spirit means you are at the end of your rope. Poor in spirit means you are desperate. Poor in spirit means you have totally blown it. You did what was wrong on purpose, knowingly, and you got caught. You are poor in spirit. And the gospel announcement to you is God says, I'm on your side. In that place of abject poverty, humiliation, desperation, I'm with you there. Okay, which means the third thing about the Beatitudes is that they defy conventional wisdom. They flip the script on the way things are supposed to be, right? Because we would say, but no. The blessing, Dixon, is not for the poor in spirit. The blessing is for, like, the good people. The blessing is for the churchgoers. The blessing is for the people that come every Sunday, for the people that keep their nose clean and work hard. The blessing is for the people that believe the right stuff and say the right things and carry the right banner and vote the right way. The blessing is for the good people. That is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, in this counterintuitive, flipped over announcement, the blessing is for everyone for whom there is no reason there should be blessing. God is on your side, okay? And so, it's so perfect to partner with the 1 Corinthians reading that's about the cross flipping the script on what wisdom is, because conventional wisdom tells us other things. There's a blessing for the merciful. Well, we would say in conventional wisdom, no, not blessed are the merciful. Woe to the merciful. Woe, the merciful, they're going to get taken advantage of. Woe to the merciful, they're never going to be able to balance the books, giving all that money away. Woe to the merciful, people are going to walk all over them. But Jesus says, no, actually, the blessing, the solidarity, the presence of God is for them. Does that make sense? So it's got this kind of counterintuitive thing that swings with it all the time. That's how the Beatitudes work. They flip the script on conventional wisdom. Now, when you talk about then peacemakers, okay, it says the Beatitude is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called what? Children of God. Okay, so first, peace. Peace here is about shalom. Peace here is about a world that is not as it's meant to be, and it's about a God that is restoring that world. It's about a God that is healing everything. It is about a world that was whole and has become fractured. And so peace for God is about the kind of restoration of shalom. It's about the healing, the wholeness of everything. So peacemakers are folks that are working to make the world that is fractured whole again. You're entering into and participating in arranging the pieces so that divine shalom can flow, all right? Now, what that means then is that peacemakers have to go into places that are not peaceful, right? They have to go into places where there's conflict. Peacemakers then are people that enter situations that are tense and do something very particular, okay? So we talked about how our world is fractured right now, right? Like in God's restoring shalom. One of the ways we see that fracturing, I would contend, it's got to be in the way we constantly are dividing everything up into political categories right now. Would you agree with me? Like everything. You're talking with someone, they're like, hey, leave politics out of this. And you're like, I'm just talking about that new M. Night Shyamalan movie. I don't know what you're talking about. It's pretty good, right? Like we're so on guard. We're so protected. Everything becomes about, you know, this kind of division, right? And so, but what we found when we did our class here on politics across the election is we put people together that voted differently in the last election, and they had coffee every week. And so what you started finding was people were coming out of these coffees and they would approach me and they'd be like, Dixon, this is like really cool. Like, this person is not an idiot. They're actually like we have a lot in common. And we're connecting. And our stories are really similar. And they're actually kind of my friend. And the more that the conversations continued, you'd find people basically saying, okay, so here's the thing. I don't want to say this too loudly, but there might be a little rightness in their wrongness. I'm just saying, they're still wrong, but there might be a little rightness in their wrongness. And you know what else? There might be a little wrongness in my rightness. And you started to see this kind of opening up of hearts, okay? That space of entering the middle, of holding space in the center in a tension where everything about it wants you to go to one side or the other, that is what it means to be a peacemaker. It is entering the center of a dichotomy, of a binary, and holding space in the middle. It's what happens when there's a couple you know that's going through a divorce. And the divorce is happening, and what happens to all the friends? They start getting divvied up, right? Who's going with who? And people are pulling people over to their side. Let me tell you what he did. I'm going to talk to you about what she did. And they start telling you about it, and they're getting you up. And so what happens is you're over here, and you're hearing it, and you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe she did that. Oh, you're right. That's so wrong. That's not okay. And then the next time you see your friend, you see her, you hear her side of the story, and you realize, oh, okay, so it's a lot more complicated than that. Of course, over here, it's kind of getting painted one way, but over here, it's getting painted a little bit a different way. Oh, this is a lot more complicated and complex and nuanced than I ever knew. Anybody been in this space? Right? And all of a sudden you find yourself in this spot and it's just, it's pulling at you. Do you know this feeling that you feel it? You're like, ugh, right? Happens at work, like office politics. Like someone's hacked off at their supervisor and they come to you, you know, and they're griping. And you're like, oh my gosh, let's go talk to them. And then you talk to the supervisor and they're like, well, did they tell you that, you know, they've done X, Y, and Z? Oh, I didn't know that. You know, so peacemakers, okay, enter that middle space that is full of tension. And you know what they do? They don't resolve the tension by taking sides. Everything in you, when you're standing here, we're talking politics, when you're talking about conflict, whatever it is, you're going to want to take a side, okay? Because taking a side resolves the tension. Whew. Now I know who my people are. Can you guys believe them? Epistle side, like, look at them over there. Like, these guys, they are the enemy. We're the good guys. They're the bad guys. Doesn't it feel good to be right? Let's go race go-karts. Okay, so, like, it resolves tension to pick a side. Because you go to one side or the other. And you know who your people are. You get to sit with your tribe. You get to be with your people that believe what you believe, that think like you think, that talk like you talk, listen to the music, socialize where you socialize. And they make sense. They're your people. And then they are not, okay? The peacemaker is called to eschew that. The peacemaker is called to bear, even in their bodies, the anxiety and the tension that comes from holding the space in the middle. This is why there's a blessing for them. Because if you hold space in the middle of a conflict between a couple that's going through a divorce, and you don't pick a side, and you try to understand where everyone's coming from, that is going to cause deep anxiety in you. And in that space of your heart that is anxious and afraid and feels like you're doing it wrong, God says, I am with you there. And there is a peace for you that is on offer that has nothing to do with that circumstance. You all tasted it about 10 minutes ago when I started this sermon. It's as close as your breath. It has to do with the presence of God in the now, right here, and nothing to do with your circumstance. There can be a peace that passes all understanding and circumstance that can guard your heart when you're hanging out in the space of the peacemaker. Are you with me? Now, look at what happens though. Let's talk about being a child of God. Being a child of God really has to do with kind of bearing the family resemblance, being a chip off the old block, right? What do God's people look like? What is the thing that you see them and you're like, oh, you look like your daddy, right? What is that thing in God's people, okay? Well, you start to find it when you watch Jesus operate, because he's our brother, right? And you watch Jesus operate in the world, and what you see is Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but what happens everywhere Jesus goes? He stirs things up. He totally creates conflict. Everywhere he goes, he causes problems because he's presented with the binaries of his world, and he won't tribe up. He always seeks that middle way. He holds space in the middle, and it hacks everybody off, which is why, look at this, this is so cool. Okay, which is why, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. What's the very next beatitude? Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And just in case you want to know how it can get turned up a notch, what happens after that? Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on Facebook, I mean on my account. Rejoice and be glad. You see this procession, procession, because peacemaking can create more conflict. It doesn't always resolve conflict. Sometimes it can amp it up and create it. And you will find the people that want you to pick sides are not going to tolerate you hanging out in the middle. And they will turn on you and they will eat you. Which means the whole thing circles back around, because if they turn on you and they eat you, you may indeed find yourself very poor in spirit. But I got good news for you, friends. God is on your side. That's how the Beatitudes work. That's the rhythm of the disciple of Jesus, okay? And this is so powerful, and it doesn't make any sense because it defies conventional wisdom. But it is the gospel. Now, how then might we apply this teaching to the last 36 hours? Now your anxiety's going back up, isn't it? Okay. So, what's been in the news last 36 hours? What's the big story? It's the ban on immigrants, right? So we've got this whole story. If you're not watching the news, I had someone at the 7:45 that was like, I didn't know what you're talking about because I stopped watching the news like in October. I feel great. Okay. Fair enough. So the long and short of it is that President Trump signed this executive order that deals kind of sweepingly with immigration policy, and it's kicked up this big conversation about immigration, about policy, and one of the elements of this has to be with this sort of categorical ban right now on any immigrants coming into the country, including refugees, right? And so there's been all of this fervor. If you've been on Facebook, it's just wild right now, like the kind of fervor and the things that are going on. There's this huge, huge conversation that's happening all over. And so, like, what would it mean for Christians to enter that conversation? I think we get a sense from Jesus, okay? So here's one thing. One of the parables that Jesus tells about the kind of end of things, when God is about to kind of complete the work of healing and wholeness, and there's what's called the last judgment. The picture Jesus gives in parable is this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, and he will sit on the throne of his glory, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come on in. Blessed are you by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was naked, you gave me clothing. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was in prison, you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you? When did we see you as naked and give you clothing? Like, when was that you were sick and we visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. So there's this sense that Jesus is saying, look, the family resemblance, the chip off the old block, the way you know kind of who's part of my family, are the way that they take care of the hungry, the thirsty, the way they welcome strangers, the way they clothe the naked, take care of the sick, visit people in prison, this kind of thing. And then the parable continues, of course, everyone that didn't do that is offered an alternative at the last judgment, right? Now, here's the thing. In the conversation about immigration that's going on right now, okay, Christians should have, if you're going to enter this conversation, you will have theological questions about it based on text like this, okay? This kind of teaching is all through the Bible. It's like replete through the entirety of the text. It's like the shape and scope of God's people is always about caring for people on the margins, okay? And so you should have theological questions to ask because of this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about political questions about this. This is not a political conversation. Some of you are struggling to even hear that right now, I know, because it's so easy. That's how we want to do it. I'm just talking about a theological question. God says this, how do I deal with that, okay? So that's on the one hand. Peacemakers, on the other hand, are going to say, the world is a really dangerous place right now, and we need to have a very serious conversation about who comes into this country and who doesn't, and how they're vetted and how they're not, where they come from and where they're not. We live in a world, there are big gaps in our immigration policy that we have to be able to talk about. And we need to be able to figure out. Policy is really complicated. It involves a lot of moving pieces. We need to be able to have that conversation. There is wisdom in caution. There is wisdom in taking it slow. So peacemakers, if you're gonna enter this conversation this week, the invitation to a peacemaker is to come in with both of these things being balanced, right? With this kind of conviction of, man, like taking care of the most vulnerable and the needy and the people that are left out, and like that, boy, that burns in my heart, but like, how do you craft policy that is wise and prudent and serves the common good for all? Christians will enter that conversation with these two things hanging together. Do you hear me? Okay? Now, here's the thing about that. Conventional wisdom will tell you that is a mistake. Conventional wisdom will tell you, you should never do that. Why would you put yourself out there like that? If you, woe to the peacemaker, everyone's going to be mad at you. Woe to the peacemaker. If you don't tout the party line, people over here and over here are going to be mad at you. Woe to the peacemaker. Everyone's going to misunderstand you and talk bad about you behind your back at lunch, like it's probably going to happen to me. But the gospel is that there is a blessing for everybody that has the courage to walk this path, because you are not alone. Woe to the peacemaker, you're going to end up all alone. And God says, no, I am on your side. You are not alone. I am here with you. And I'll tell you all this, I'm here with you too. I want to try to do this too. Will you join me? It is hard work. Our world doesn't need more people that are decided on everything. Our world needs more peacemakers. Will you have the courage to go forth and make some peace? And when things do get hard and do go wrong, don't forget to breathe, because your peace comes from the God that has called you and blesses you when you hang out in the middle of the tension. Amen.